2 versus, I'm going to pick it up in verse 4 instead of what's in the bulletin. That was my mistake, not anybody else's. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, reading to verse 12. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received the mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits." Yeah, Sheila would like to have the little kids to go back into the fellowship hall for their own worship service and for their own sermon. So, Kingston would love it. I think Kingston really would. He's smiling at me. Okay, very good. Sorry about that, Sheila. I'm used to those Tyson women hairy eyeballs. And so I was able to detect that very quickly, about halfway through the scripture reading, as a matter of fact. Joel wanted me to say something about the football game yesterday, the Penn State game. So I said something about the game. Speaking of saints, Keith and Martha had us in their home last night. Ohio State fans having Penn State fans in the same house for a game. That's saints. And we fellowship, and we love, and we still love each other. While each week I hear of ministry done in our congregation by saints, and all I can say is, when that happens, when I hear it, you know, it's nothing that I prompted or anything, but I hear about people doing things, and I say, the church just happened. God's call out ones at work. I think back to our previous church at Kenoy, where we had a young lady, and I think I've told you this before, some of you haven't heard this, but we had a young lady who had a run-in with the law. She got overly passionate about something, that a financial issue that was being mishandled. It was actually fraud, but she got so upset that the police were called. And so it was in the paper. It was in the paper that she had been arrested. And one of the ladies in our church who was very concerned about these kind of things came and said, "Did you see what happened to Hope? This is not good, you know." That morning, Hope got up in the service and confessed. She didn't say anything about what had prompted it. She just got up and confessed that she had sinned, that she had brought disrepute on even on the kingdom of God. And she confessed, and it was broken, and it was really a sweet testimony. And as she sat down, one of the other ladies from the congregation stood up behind her. Her name was Marty Ryder. And she said, "Hope, thank you for that. We've all sinned in some way." And she just granted absolution to Hope. And Hope was able to live up to her name, Hope. And I remember saying at that point, the church just happened here. I hear about one person in our congregation being laid up with a bum leg and another ABC-er coming over and mowing his lawn. I hear of people helping with car repair, just coming by, sitting out in the rain and repairing brakes. I hear about, and I see, people in our congregation stopping by the hospital to visit recovering or ailing ABCers, whether it's in the hospital or in the home, taking meals. That's when the church happens. We're wrapping up the sixth month of this. We're not wrapping up the study. We're going to go for another month on this and then have Christmas and finish out sometime in the new year. But we've had 6 months of looking at these shorter letters that we have at the end of the New Testament, and it's a series that we call Little Letters with a Big Message. And by what I just read from 1 Peter 2, and with the illustrations I just gave about the church at work, you can see how we minister to one another. And we talked about that as we remembered those saints in our lives. And Peter says that we are living stones who take after our chief living stone, who is Jesus Christ. And Peter says that he's either a cornerstone that holds the structure of our lives and our body together, the body of Christ, for us, for the faithful, or he is a rock that we trip over as we grope along blindly in the darkness of his absence for those who rebel against him. One stone is life, and the other is a gravestone that reads, here lies a person who tried to go it alone, who tried to make it by themselves. Our text also says that we are a royal priesthood. That's what we are. That's what we are. We're a royal priesthood, which means that I am not the only minister in this room. Yes, I'm the pastor, which means shepherd. That's what that word actually means. But we are all ministers because we are Christ followers. That's what that royal priesthood means. We all have a responsibility to live out our unique calling as living stones and as called ministers. And what this ultimately means is that we are each a rock with a role, R-O-L-E. We are a community of faith, and we all contribute to that community of faith, every single one of us. We are the solid wall of community. A brick is just a brick when it's by itself. But a brick placed together with others makes a wall. Barclay says that for Peter, who wrote this, he said, solitary religion is ruled out as an impossibility. We can't just be Christians by ourselves. And then he quotes C.E.B. Cranfield, who wrote, the freelance Christian who would be a Christian but is too superior to belong to the visible church upon earth in one of its forms is simply a contradiction in terms. A freelance Christian is a contradiction in terms. And then he goes on to say, Barclay goes on to say, that individualistic Christianity is an absurdity. We can't stand alone. We need each other to carry out the mission of the church. A Lone Ranger Christian who sits at home alone getting their preaching from the TV or by streaming online and simply existing is not only cheating community out of their gifts, the community of faith out of their gifts and out of their talents, but they are slowly atrophying like an unused arm or a leg. Can you imagine somebody who sits and thinks that they can watch John Hagee or Joe Osteen and those preachers on TV are good. Charles Stanley is awesome. But if that's the only preaching you get, that's the only fellowship you get, you miss the saints, you know, the testimonies. You miss that stuff. You miss coming and sharing and teaching and offering your own gifts. People who are Lone Ranger Christians lose their effectiveness because they lose all the effectiveness that is derived from coming together in the solid wall of community. There just isn't any useful strength in one brick. One brick can be destructive, as a matter of fact. It can be thrown through a window. It can be used on a head. But bricks together form a wall of community. And together, as I said a bit ago, every one of us then is a minister. Every single one of us. A piece I read this past week helps here. The writer says, the vast majority of U.S. citizens would understand the question, do you go to church? However, they may or may not answer that same. That same percentage will likely envision a congregation at a specific address on a certain day of the week, and headlining those congregations are professionals who lead us and manage programs designed to meet our needs. Christians come together on Sundays because that's what Christians do. While the writer was addressing how the label evangelicalism has been tried and found wanting, because that label of evangelical is a favorite whipping boy lately, while he was addressing that, he's also showing that the concept of the priesthood of all believers, which is all through the New Testament, and certainly in these verses that we have here today, this concept of the priesthood of all believers is a tenet of being the church that is too often and too quickly disregarded, too often forgotten. In the religions of Peter's day, when he was writing this in the late first century, the priesthood was a privileged class. Indeed, in the caste system of Hinduism, it's still that way. The priesthood is a privileged class. And to a certain extent, it's that way in the Catholic Church as well. It's become that way in many other denominations too. In the Old Testament, the priest was the one who had access to God. He was the intercessor. In fact, there was only one priest who could, on one day of the year, even come into the presence of God. And even then he had to have a rope on his ankle in case he wasn't worthy to go into the presence of God and died in there. Somebody had to retrieve him, so they had a rope on his ankle to pull him out. Only one person could go into the presence of God in the Old Testament. But beginning with the New Testament, and the beginning of the New Testament happened when Jesus died on the cross, and that huge curtain in the temple that separated the rest of the temple with the Holy of Holies, when Jesus died, that veil, it said, or that curtain was torn apart, and anybody could come into the presence of God. It wasn't just one priest, one intercessor. And at that point, that is where all Christ followers became a holy priesthood. And in the same way that in the Old Testament, a priest is a bridge builder to God for those who don't have access to him, all Christ followers, everybody in this room for sure, who names Christ as their Savior, all Christ followers are bridge builders to those who do not have access to Jesus Christ. All Christ followers are commissioned to do the same thing, to bring people into the presence of God. And the other function of a priest is to bring a sacrifice into the presence of God. We as priests are to offer ourselves. And that's part of what Paul is teaching in Romans 12:1 when he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Now think about it. What are you supposed to bring? What do you have to offer? Well, how about your entire self? Your resources, your talents, your spiritual gifts. And as a living stone and as part of the building that the church is, you need to contribute what God has gifted you with. Remember, you are a rock with a role, and that means you bring what you have to offer. And here's another role when you're a rock with a role. We are mouthpieces of God, telling of his work and telling of his plan. That's part of that bringing people into the presence of God. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song in Good News Club that went, "Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." And my mom, who led Good News Club, had all these things from Good News Club with a stop sign. And she would hold it up, "Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." Verse 9 says that we are to declare his praises. What has God done for you? Tell it. Say it. What kind of transformation has God done in your life? Declare it. Don't be shy. The world is watching. They want to see if Christ followers really are different or if they are really, really transformed. It's no small thing to be called from darkness to light. Peter is saying, you've been called from darkness to light. And so we are no longer in the darkness. We're no longer wandering around lost and aimless. We have a purpose. We are rocks with a role. We need to tell people that. Verse 10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." It's no small thing to be made something from nothing. We've been called out of insignificance into significance. Barclay writes, "It continually happens in this world that a man's greatness lies not in himself, but in what he has been given him to do. The Christian's greatness lies in the fact that God has chosen him to be his man or woman," because I'm not, you know, let's make sure that we know that this is everybody in this room. God has chosen us to be his man or woman to do his work in the world. And then don't miss this part. No Christian can be ordinary, for he is a man of God. That means that none of us in here are ordinary. We are extraordinary. We are rocks with a role to play in the kingdom of God. And that's why, as God's chosen people, we need to act like it. The fact that we are people of privilege just because we are living stones doesn't mean that we are to take it for granted, as it were. Don't waste your privilege. Get to work. We are chosen. And because we're chosen, we must be obedient. Living stones also known as rocks with a roll, are under orders from higher authority and we must obey. We are chosen for service. What's your gift? What's your gift? We've done network training in the past, and we need to do it again. Network is a program that looks at your spiritual gifts combined with your personality, combined with your passions, and helps you determine what your best ministry is, both inside and outside of the walls of the church building. We're going to offer this in the coming winter. But for now, think about what your talents are and use those talents for the kingdom. If we're a holy nation, we need to be holy. As we pointed out numberless times before, we need to be set apart. That's what holiness means, set apart for God's purposes. And that means we are to be a picture of Christ to the people we come in contact with. Or condensing verse 12 a bit, live such good lives among the people that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. If we are a holy nation, those observing us from the outside better not see anything that they can use as ammunition against the church. What relationships do we need to mend? What activities do we need to cease? What words or attitudes do we need to discontinue? The world is watching. Are we ready for that? So, if we're going to be God's tools for transformation in this society that we live in, we need to be consistent. In Matthew 18:14, after telling the parable of the good shepherd, where the shepherd leaves the entire flock to go find one lost sheep, Jesus says, and he has a child on his lap as he says this, he says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And he's talking about anyone who doesn't know Christ. All around you are people who don't know Jesus Christ. And as a living stone, your job is to show them Jesus, to live Jesus in front of them by what you do and by what you say. That's what a rock with a roll does. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Remember that the prayer circle is open for anyone who would like someone to pray about this or anything else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you speak to us through the Word. I thank you that we have so many living stones in this room here, in the way they witness for you and live for you. And I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit would go with us as we continue to walk in your ways. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Christ alone, He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving
When he was confronted and urged to recant, said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And that's because of that powerful promise that we just sang about. This world isn't our home. We're just passing through. And so let me remind you what Peter says as we leave here. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wages war against your soul, and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits." Let's do that. Amen? Let me remind you. Yes. My memory's good, it's just short. Matt and Lori are having a... Matt and Lori are having a luncheon for anybody who would like to hear more about their ministry, especially with Global Lead, and that is in the fellowship hall after this. So, you know, if your roast isn't already burning, so you can do that. So, let's be dismissed. Thank you.